Blog Talk Radio.
Get ready, you
boys! I'm going home, back to the place where I belong, and where your love has always been enough for me. Places and these places are getting old, so I'm going home.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez,
Earl,
Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber when it's game time. They like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yes, sir. What up, War Room family? You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the new WRS Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined at the round table, as usual, by my brothers, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin the HBC. The World Cup is over, and Germany, of course, reigns victorious. LeBron is going home, as you heard from the song in our open, and we'll give you our thoughts on that, but only after we talk to Josh Planos of the Washington Post and ESPN True Hoops Network about it, as well as other notable storylines in NBA free agency. But before we talk to Josh and get into all that NBA stuff, we got some more stuff to rap about. So make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can join in the conversations there. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline in about 30 minutes or so. 323-410-0012 is the number. Before we get started, we'd be remiss if we didn't give a huge shout-out to Fats Radio. As you guys may have known, you know, if you listen to our show, you know we've been syndicated there for a while, but they recently agreed to pick up every sports show on the WRS Podcast Network for syndication as well. And we're very proud of that, and we're proud of all of our hosts and hostesses. So in the coming weeks, check the listings at fatsradio.com, that's P-H-A-T-Z, radio.com, for air times of your favorite WRSPN shows. But as usual, you can go to WRSPN.com or warroomsports.com to listen to any episode of any of our network shows on demand. So shout out to our fellas over in the Broad Street line, Roy and Chris. Those guys are still going strong after 203 episodes. And I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. Shout out to all our other network mates, Gaffer and Hooligan, the season ticket after further review, Tissue and the Tape, Pop Spot, Hoop Girls, Sports Trap Radio, all you guys keep up the great work. But fellas, what's good, man? Did y'all catch the ESPYs last night? How y'all think your boy Drake did as the host?
I never loved us. It's all right. I mean, you're talented young brother.
What
I mean, in the beginning, he looked a little nervous, but he got comfortable, and he did well. I mean,
the beginning is always like the whole monologue. So I could see him being nervous at that part because you basically got to get your stand-up, stand-up comedy on, and he's not a stand-up comedian. But I'm not going to front, man, you know, as much as we talk trash about Drake, I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't even going to watch the ESPYs, but there was really nothing else on television to watch, so I ended up watching it, live-tweeted through the whole thing. You know, Drake had several Drake moments, but at the same time, the dude made me laugh, man. And him and Blake Griffin, the little stuff they did together.
The one thing about it, here's the craziest part about Drake, and we often clown Drake for how soft-sensitive and light-skinned he is. I mean, but then again, he embraces that, and that's what's hilarious, because I wasn't shocked. I did see him on SNL. I don't know if you saw him on SNL, so I knew that he can, like, you know, do his thing from a comedic standpoint, and also watch him on Degrassi. For you who's judging me out there, judge your mother, I did watch Degrassi. So
Degrassi, he was the boy, he was the handyman boy in the wheelchair, right?
Well, he wasn't always in the wheelchair. That was towards the later seasons after he got shot in the school. Dang. Never mind. I mean, let me chill before I start giving out. Anyway, with that being said, I wasn't shocked. Very talented brother, but at the end of the day, he still is. I mean, he calls himself the, what do you call himself? The light skin Keith Sweat. So he calls himself a sensitive brother. So he's the, it's honestly, yeah, he's the realest rapper there is because he embraces who he is.
Exactly.
I'm gonna keep it 1 million right now. To be honest, I love the fact that I can clown Drake, but you know, my relationship, no Sam, with Drake is kind of the same as it is with Joe Budden. Like, I don't like a lot of the things that he does, but as an actual talent and MC, I don't think there's many that can mess with him. When he decides to really write lyrically, he's tough. He's got the charisma and stage presence, whether it's, you know, as an MC or as we saw last night as a host. I think he's a very, very, very talented entertainer. That being said, I mean, he just represents being loving, light-skinned, and texturized. I mean, it is what it is.
I hear a lot of people say what you just said a lot, B. Austin, about, you know, when he decides to write and this and that. I myself think, you know, I think Drake can rap. I don't really buy into that whole thing. I still haven't heard him write to a level where I would say, oh, nobody can mess with him when he's doing this. I haven't heard him, you know, go to that level yet.
No, I ain't saying that. I'm saying that
he ain't got bars like that. I'm just saying
said when he decided to write, nobody can mess with him.
I don't know about nobody being able to mess with him. I think that he's very talented in terms of being an MC. He's also talented in terms of, like, you know, being in front of the camera as an actor, what have you. But what I'm saying, my only thing is, what I was trying to say is that, you know, there's nothing wrong with being yourself, even if you are a sensitive, light-skinned Keith Sweat. And the fact that he embraces it makes him the realest dude there is, as opposed to some of these guys who keep up the image they do.
When these dudes are themselves, those are the dudes who end up being the richest of all of them.
I mean
look at like a Will Smith type dude. Like, everybody called Will soft, and Will didn't care about that, and now look at him.
But it's funny, I told somebody the other day, having a hip-hop discussion, I was like, yo, the biggest gangster rapper of all time is Kanye. And he laughed at me. He said, Kanye soft. I was like, yo, Kanye got on TV and dissed the president. Ain't none of them dudes you talking about got balls like that. You can say what you want to about these studio gangsters. My man Kanye went on TV and dissed the president.
Yo, that's a very valid point. Even if you look at Jay-Z, I mean, Jay-Z told you through his music subliminally that he wanted to be Jewish and wanted to kind of sell out, and he's being him, and look at where it's going for him.
Free Palestine. Yo, all I'm saying is, there's nothing wrong with being yourself, listeners, man, in regards to who you are, whether you're an athlete, actor, entertainer, a teacher, cop, if you are, just be yourself, yo.
Yeah, all I know is Drake going to come up missing. He keep messing with Skylar Diggins. I already saw her do one time on Twitter trying to get at him.
Yo, what's up with Skylar getting caught beating like that? You see Skylar all cut up now?
Yeah, I saw that. Not really feeling that.
She's hooping. She's working out.
Chill.
She just dropped. She just had a game where she dropped 35, 12, and 8. Yo, she balled.
I get that, but last time I saw her, yo, she was, you know, a regular John. Now she got like, yo, she looked like she was a Robin Lane workout.
She was doing chin-ups on a brick hanging out the wall.
Yo, she got guns now, B.
All right, well, let's...
the Brothers of War Room Sports are not known for holding the WNBA in high esteem. And to be honest, why should we? But Skylar Diggins be putting that work in. Like, she's not just a beautiful face that we would like to give man pace to. Like, it's not just about us wishing that she would succeed. She really is nice. Like, she's nice as a rock.
I don't know that. But that don't mean she got
to
look like Rocky.
Cynthia Cooper was one of the greatest players I've ever seen, even though she might have been a man, but still.
She ain't look like that.
I have no interest
in ballers that came through the WNBA.
All right, look, man, let's talk a little bit about what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. And as usual, while y'all were on the grind, it's brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket that you will need in about a month, go to your website, warroomsports.com. I mean, go to our website. Click on the DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, if you call yourself an NFL fan, you got to have DirecTV. All right, before we get into the ratchetness that is usually while you are on the grind, let's talk about a good story. You know, Argentina, they were the runner-ups in the World Cup. Their best player, which is one of the best players in the world by most people's account, you know, I'm not really up on all of that. But
Lionel Messi, the left.
Lionel Messi and one of his teammates, Mascherano, they kind of convinced the Argentine national team to give their winnings, their runner-up winnings, to a Argentine hospital, a children's hospital, and the funds are going to be used to help construct the Center for Integrative Cancer Patient Care. So, you know, like I said, we just want to just definitely give them a shout-out, because usually in this segment of the show, we don't talk about shout-out worthy events. So what do you guys think of them doing that? I mean, I know they didn't win, and I don't know what the purse actually was, but, you know, I think that's honorable to do.
Listen, man, I think it's very honorable, because these are the type of things that create legacy and what you should be known from. Money is nothing. Money is created. So, therefore, FOH to money. But when you do things like this, I mean, you have to be applauded and saluted. And I just gave the entire world some free jewelry so y'all can thank me later. But salute to these guys, because, I mean, what can you say about that? I mean, you know, as much as society, our country, I shouldn't say, yeah, our country, the way our country embraces the almighty dollar, you know, it is what it is. Ronald Reagan's fault. But this has to be saluted, man. I would appreciate
Bush.
If people did this. What'd you say?
Prescott Bush.
Oh, George Prescott. Yeah, no doubt. George Prescott, Ronald Reagan, you know. But the bottom line is that to answer your question, you got to salute these gentlemen, man. And I mean, it's a noble gesture. When you see people do this, you hope that they get the attention they deserve so other people can buy in. I know a lot of people like to donate on the low because they say, well, that's not why I did it. And I've thought about that for years, and I'm like, well, I get that. Because I remember Charles Barkley used to do a lot, and he never wanted attention because his idea was, I don't want the attention for it. But since we live in a world where we there's a bunch of followers, maybe they should start following the positive things like this.
Right.
Good. That's a good point. I'm a little bit, and I emphasize a little bit, more of a football fan. Not much, but, you know, Lionel Messi is a guy whose actions and behavior, at least in the public eye, are something that, you know, that I can kind of support. And so, you know, this just falls in line, you know, with what my perception of him is as a human being and a man. The one thing that I noticed, he actually won the Golden Ball Award for being the best player in the World Cup, and it was awarded to him right after the loss. And, you know, I kind of compared and contrasted that to what I saw with the Miami Heat after they lost, and their big three, and they were, you know, partying and on Instagram. And Lionel Messi was awarded with being, you know, the best player in that tournament, and he looked like FOH, y'all can throw that in the river. He looked despondent, you know, and so for him, I just get the sense that along with being a charitable individual, competitive greatness and his legacy are very important to him. So, you know, shout out to the Heat.
To be fair, though, LeBron James gave to the whole city of Cleveland after they lost, so it evens up. He gave to the whole city.
gave him an opportunity to celebrate.
Yeah. All right, so Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith, he was arrested this week. He was charged with misdemeanor disorderly conduct back on Saturday night after an alleged incident at a Baltimore bar. At this bar, they said Jimmy Smith was helping a drunk woman in the bathroom. And after medics arrived, the officers kept asking him to step aside, and he wouldn't do it, you know, saying he kept repeating that he was helping the woman. So he became really argumentative or whatever.
How was he helping her?
I don't know, but he became really argumentative, and supposedly the police had to do what they had to do. So, you know, this We don't know what happened. This would have to be a speculative situation. Like, why? In what situation? Like, why would that happen? Like, did he, you know, was he not trying to leave her side because it was something that he didn't want her to tell them? Or
my speculation is that some women are into asphyxiation with their coital exercise, and he squeezed too tight, and her face turned blue. She passed out, and he was frantic and not in his right mind because of the love juice and the jump-off juice flowing. So he was trying to, quote-unquote, help her after the asphyxiation. This is pure speculation. My position does not represent the feelings or views of War Room Sports or anyone else. Strictly my view.
Yeah. I like this type of thing. Like, I don't even think, because he received a citation, I don't even know if this is JoJo worthy. I think the biggest reason that it's even a story is because it continues this offseason for the Ravens. I know Jimmy's been bringing this up lately of, you know, just wondering, trying to get into the psychology of why football players get in trouble more than everybody else. But remember, the Ravens in the offseason, you had Ray Rice with the felony aggravated assault. You had Ja Reed with the misdemeanor battery. You had Deontay Thompson with the felony possession of marijuana. You had Lorenzo Taliaferro with misdemeanor destruction of property. And now you have this from Jimmy Smith. So I think the Ravens need to just get back to practice. Like I said, for me, I don't know about you guys, it's not really a JoJo offense, but they need to just get back to practice before they all, you know, before this gets worse, it gets out of hand.
No, he gets a pass on the JoJo.
He definitely does. When I first saw the story before I read into it, shout out to the people that just read article titles and don't read the articles. Because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, we got a JoJo award. Then I read into it, and I'm like, man, that's not really JoJo. I mean, if what he's saying is true, he was trying to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, are we going to refrain from giving him this award?
Standing up to the police is never worthy of a JoJo. You know,
not at all.
Up to the police. Shout out to Stokely. Shout out to Stokely Carmichael and the Panthers.
Free Mumia. Yo. Anyway, man. Yeah. So that's my opinion, man. No JoJo award, man. You know, he was trying to do the right thing.
Maybe.
According to him, at least. So you know, we'll see what happens.
If anything else comes out of it, then, you know, we'll have our hand on that button. Shabazz Napier, of course, the, you know, draft pick of the Miami Heat. It seemed earlier in the week that Shabazz was a little bit in his feelings about LeBron James bolting Miami for Cleveland. Because
he was.
Basically LeBron – This is another example of the power of LeBron James, because before the draft, he was tweeting things like, no way you take another point guard in the lottery before Napier. Then he said his favorite player in the draft is Napier. This was, you know, all the stuff LeBron was tweeting, and then Miami ended up drafting him. Then LeBron ends up bolting. Shabazz Napier allegedly unfollowed LeBron's Twitter account, but he seemed a little upset, but now he's saying that he doesn't even know how to work Twitter, so he has no idea how any of this happened. Any of you guys believe Shabazz, or do you think he's up in his feelings because he thought he was going to play with the king and it's not going to
well,
go?
Well, we don't believe you. We need more people.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. At this stage of the game, he was sitting around with his homies, and they all shared with him how he was sort of doing things in common with Drake. That was a Drake-ish move. And so he backtracked. And the worst thing that he could have said was that he's under 25 and doesn't know how to work Twitter. Are you serious, dog? You really want us to believe that? You don't know how to work Twitter.
He should
like
have just used that normal excuse like, yo, I got hacked, yo.
I got hacked.
Exactly.
He was trying to stay away from that excuse and made one
off,
to just
he came off mad Trezvanny in this thing, man. Like, yo, I don't know how to work. Come on, B. FOH, yo.
Man,
sensitive as.
think Boz was being a little sensitive. I think he thought it was going to be a move that people praised. Like, you're not playing with the dude, and all right, so you act like you're upset. At, you know, you don't have to follow him. You don't have to be friends with him. And then it backfired on him, and now he looked like, he looked a little Trezvanny. So, should we key one up for Shabazz? Is he deserving?
You
should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Yeah, if we don't believe him, sure it definitely has to be JoJo worthy.
JoJo, but for me, the entire JoJo was you were born like after 1986, and you trying to claim that you don't work Twitter. Like that to me was the JoJo of all this.
Well, either way, he got one. So, shout out to Shabazz. Stop being so sensitive, homie. All right. So, this one is crazy. Hank Basket, and his reality star wife, Kendra Wilkinson, they having a little bit of problems because Mr. Basket has been cheating on her,
like
allegedly.
Like tranny.
And he's been cheating on her with a transsexual woman named Ava Sabrina London, who is basically putting him out there because she spoke with some journalists last week telling all about her affair. To me, I see a photo of her. I mean, it's hard to tell with these people, so I don't know if he's like a freak and he knew and he did it. I mean, her face is kind of iffy. But, she got everything else done. One thing I noticed, and one thing I talked to my wife about the other day, fellas, transsexuals, transgender people, especially people who go from man to woman, these people must be, like, very wealthy, very well off, because it would seem to me that it would cost a whole lot of money to transform yourself, especially into, like, a voluptuous woman. Is it me, or is this stuff covered in Obamacare? Like, what's going on?
I've never heard of this. I'm not qualified.
You don't have to be qualified. Boob enhancements cost money. I'm pretty sure if you snipping somebody's stuff off, they're not doing that for free, unless they're calling Dr. Bobbitt. It would seem that these people had lots of money, because that just doesn't seem like a cheap thing to do.
All I got to say is shout out to Silent Fox, man.
Yo, but this is this is the kicker here, and this is why this is my main reason that I'm going to nominate Hank Basket for a JoJo Award. Because this woman was going to go to the press and blow his spot up, Hank decided that he was going to offer her some hush money. So he came to her place and left $2,000. And then after that, when he realized it wasn't going to work, he offered her $5,000 to keep quiet and stay away from the press. Yo, can you get somebody, can you get a kid not to tell their mother something you said for $2,000? What kind of hush money is $2,000?
Yo, he offered her two stacks, yo.
Yo, Hank is broke.
I've had tabs that was $2,000. Come on, homie. You got to do better than that.
Yo, he offered her $2,000. Like, she could spend that. If she met him somewhere to get that, she could spend that, like, in the next 10 minutes somewhere. Like, $2,000? I'm pretty sure Kendra's a little upset about that. I'd be offended. Like, that's all this is worth.
Yo, y'all with two racks, B. Come on, man. You can't even buy a squatter for that.
Yo, and I know this is going to be a funny part to the story, Dev. If you read their backdrop, like, he went to her and said, "Babe, I'm trying to have an open marriage." And she gave him a little pushback. Then they did the open marriage thing for a while. Then she came back to the table and said, "No, no open marriage." So if you're actually offering 2 and 5 and, you know, single-digit rack hush money, that means in reality the reason Kendrick should be mad is Hank didn't really want it that hush anyway. Hank don't even care.
Not for 2 stacks, he don't.
Hank don't care.
Who you going to shut up for 2 stacks? You know how poor and desolate somebody has to be to take $2,000 from you and shut
up?
We know.
We know someone. We know a guy that would take 2 racks.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nevermind.
Racks and racks and racks. All right, man.
You offered 2 grand, B.
So that's what Hank Basket is doing these days. He's having sex with transsexual people and offering them 2 grand.
Yo, I'm laughing.
Hush money.
2 grand, yo. First of all, he's making love to like the boy yams, and now he's trying to offer like 2 grand.
All right,
exactly.
Man, that's on you,
dude. Look, you don't have to cut it off. I like
Jim, man.
You don't have to cut it off.
Who's having a birthday, man? Hank Basket.
You
tripping.
Already know it's time to jump into the birthdays. For those who don't know, the birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best in comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. Treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. Visit www.alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. Tell them War Room Sports sent you.
My birthday! Yay!
Let's jump into these birthdays. These are NBA heavy. Shout out to at Casey Mack because I know he's going to check in if we missed anybody significant. Let's start with who we got. We have Eric Williams turning 42.
Yo, he's not significant. He's just ugly. Go ahead.
Ah, word to Sam Cassell. Yo, we have Donnie Marshall turning 42.
Donnie.
The great left-hander, Calbert Chaney, turning 43.
Yo, Calbert, we have at Indiana.
Yeah,
Calbert,
there you go, college. Get the pass. Let's make that college. Scott Norwood. Oh, Scott Norwood. Terrible.
Choke job Norwood. You know what? I was talking to somebody today who said if it weren't for Jim Kelly, Peyton Manning would be the biggest choke job of all time. I'm like, when did Jim Kelly become a choke job? Like, people just put too much on one player. Did you not see how competitive they were in most of these games? Did you not see the kicker miss kicks? After Jim Kelly got him in position, like
great championships, who does that?
Yeah, I can't. That's why you can't talk to people after the Jordan era, man. Because everybody's brainwashed. Everybody's brainwashed with these championships, and come on, man.
Yeah, man. But, so anybody who the name Norwood has
Lane Nike, Phil Knight.
We ain't talking about Brandy or Ray J, but Scott Norwood. All sports fans should know what Scott Norwood stands for, what he did. So we ain't going to talk about that now. The legendary basketball great Connie Hawkins turns a young 72. Shout out to Connie Hawkins. We like to give all those gentlemen a nice war room salute on their birthday.
All righty.
Yo, real quick, I just saw some breaking news, man. Bill Russell is hospitalized, man. Don't want to hear that,
man.
But that just came across the wire, so I just want to put that out there. Get well, you know, Bill Russell.
Yeah, whatever it is, get well. All right, we're getting into some NBA in probably about 15 minutes. We're going to have Josh Planos on the line with us from the Washington Post, ESPN, True Hoops Network, fan-sided. Man, Josh writes for everybody. We'd be here another 5 minutes if I had to run all that down. But you guys can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. It's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about the company. Our show will inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab, do some shopping, buy some T-shirts, some hats, whatever you need. Click the blog tab to read our latest articles in the All Fair and Sports and War blog. Then you can click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com to listen to our network shows at WRSPN.com, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app to get everything I just mentioned on the go anytime you need it. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, you can sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If that doesn't suit your fancy and you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow so you can get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show like we do every week. But if you want to call in and speak with us directly, you can dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, which is open right now. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. But if you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. So let's get into some hot topics real quick before we get our guests on the line. Let's talk about a few things. But before we do that, Jimmy, let everybody know who Hot Topics are brought to them by.
Absolutely. And everybody knows that in terms of our sponsors, I get ballistic with this one. But if your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible. Sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time. Personally, I'm currently listening to a couple books, Divergent, finishing up that Sugar with Leonard book I've been telling you about, and I will write a review once I'm done. I've also finished the Bill Russell book. I better hurry up and write that blog. Anyway, with that being said,
with that being said,
the Bill Russell book was an excellent book. There's a lot of great sports books on Audible. We have Bill Russell, we got Dr. J, Charles Barkley, Sugar Ray Leonard, Michael Jordan. The list goes on and on in terms of great sports biographies and great sports stories. To get a free one, audibletrial.com/warroomsports. You can get any of those books absolutely free.
All right. We all know the World Cup is over, as we mentioned earlier. I mean, unless you've been under a rock, you know that Germany, they are the champions. Good, like the last two the semifinals against Brazil was just shameful on the part of Brazil. But, I mean, going in, I picked Germany with a little bit of knowledge that I had on the whole situation. But what do you guys
– It was a good pick.
Just to put this to bed, what are your final thoughts on the 2014 World Cup?
I think that soccer now is more prevalent in the U.S. than ever before. I think this World Cup meant a lot more to the United States. They said that viewership was up. And I don't, and they said viewership was up globally. I don't know that I attribute that to more world interest or just the fact that we're now consuming so much content via mobile device and television and computers. So, you know, I think that the interest levels may have increased a little bit with the addition of more North American interest. But I just think we live in a digital age. I think that, you know, based on the conversation we had with Wazi, who's our international correspondent and soccer correspondent, I was shocked that Italy went out the way they went out. I was shocked that Ghana went out the way they went out. And to your point, I was shocked the way that Brazil, honestly, Brazil, I actually picked Brazil as the favorite to win this because I figured they're playing at home. They have such a great team. Now, to their credit, they had two major things happen. Neymar couldn't play, and Silva got two yellows, so he couldn't play in that drubbing. But if you get beat 7-1 in soccer, that's like getting blown out 40-0 in football. Or getting beat by 50 in basketball. So to the Brazil.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
your home field, you can't get beat 7-1. You can't let that, like, that can't happen. Shout out to the Germans. They got a great program. They continue to show why they're the world leaders in the sport. So Achtung, baby, and shout out to them.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I really didn't even try to get into soccer until the 2010 World Cup, and I'm still a novice. And the only time that I'm really interested in it is World Cup. I mean, you have a lot of fans like that. And that, you know, even with viewership being up, most of the fans are probably those type of fans. They may not admit it,
sure,
as I have. But for me, I think the appreciation that I have for the skill level of what these guys do in this game, that's where my respect comes from. A lot of people I know think that the game is kind of boring, but like for me, I just think that it's amazing to be able to play a game at that high of a level, you know, when besides the goalkeeper, you can't use your hands. Yeah, it's amazing, man. I've seen some things, and watching the World Cup, you can tell easily why this sport hasn't caught on in America like it does, like it has for the rest of the world. Because when you look at the U.S. team, who I guess because there's a lot of celebrating going on for those guys, I guess they did more than they were supposed to do. But if you look at that team in comparison to some of the nations that are, you know, more football heavy, you can just see the difference in the way they handle the ball,
yeah,
you know, just the way they play
skill
in
level.
General.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the skill level is very different. In my opinion. So, I mean, I guess that's what all the celebration was, that the U.S. was able to hang with some of these nations, but I don't really celebrate mediocrity. But, no, I definitely have a high level of respect for the game, and, you know, but admittedly, I probably won't be this excited about the game again until 2018 when the next World Cup comes around. But it was good, you know. A few weeks of me actually being engaged.
Point,
to give my honest opinion, and I'll be completely transparent with you. Shout out to Modi from PopSpot, who me and Dad had a conversation with on his show the other day in reference to this. But I just honestly, I still don't get it. I know a lot of people have bought in; they enjoyed it. I tried, but I found myself like on Twitter, or seeing what new video was on the hub, but I just couldn't pay attention to what was going on in front of me. Like, I understand the athletic part of it. I really do, because, you know, watching the Olympics sometimes, you know, with sports where it's not really entertaining, but you're like, yo, how do you do that athletically? I get that. And I guess maybe I'm, like, too Americanized, or I just grew up not really caring about soccer, so it's hard for me to get into it now. And I find this with a lot of sports. I definitely spent time trying to get into NASCAR, couldn't. You know, so I've tried to get into certain sports. I just can't do it. I can't watch golf unless Tiger's playing. Call me racist, whatever. In soccer, I just, you know, just wasn't entertaining to me. I did watch the first three seasons of Falling Skies while everybody was watching the World Cup, because there's a lot of great TV on right now. But I just couldn't get into it. Like, I definitely tried, and I'll try again. And I was wondering whether I was the only one who felt that way, so I was asking people, on the internet, like Twitter and what have you. And, you know, some people felt the same way. A lot of people, admittedly, what they said, Dev, was it's like the sense of community. Now, and B. Austin brought up the point of, like, social media and how we're all connected. So a lot of people just basically said it was something to clown about. So they get on Twitter while everybody's watching the same thing and just make comments, but they really don't appreciate it, like, you know, for what it is. It's just something that everybody can get, it, you know, can gather around, root for their country and crack jokes with. But, I couldn't even do that, so... But shout out to the whole event anyway. One day it'll win me over, just not yet.
Yeah, I mean, biggest sporting event in the world.
To your point, Dev, I caught on to it a little bit later in life as well, because growing up, I felt almost exactly the same way Jimmy did. In fact, you know, it was actually the sport we used to joke, because it was played in the fall, where we come from, so it conflicts with football. And, you know, we thought the Drakes and the Ralph Tresvants, they go out for soccer while, you know, real men play football. American football with pads and hit things really, really hard. But I was blessed to marry an African woman who is, her family is very into soccer. So, you know, started studying the game, and it's an amazing game. But if you watch MLS soccer in the U.S. and you go watch Premier League soccer in Europe, you won't.
You're saying it's levels, right?
It's levels to this ish.
Yeah,
all right, but,
Yo, yeah, I mean, I guess maybe that's what it is. Like I was saying the other day, you know, I know people that have been to games in Europe, and they all say when they go to a game in Europe, that's it. It's a wrap. You're hooked. So maybe that's what I need to do. We're going to take a rolling trip to Europe just to watch a soccer match.
Yo, can we take guns on the plane? I'm a little afraid to go to a soccer match in Europe.
Maybe
wilding over there. Well, I know the answer to that question. Maybe we have to find somebody to get some from while we're there, because you got to protect your neck at a soccer game in Europe. All right, well, shout out to that. Like I said, it's the biggest single sporting event in the world, so I guess they gotta put that out there so you won't get it confused with the Olympics. The Olympics are huge, but it's a bunch of different sports, of course. Just a quick note, Manchester United, and this is some of the financial power of the game. Manchester United, which is already like the most valuable sports franchise on the planet, they just signed a 10-year, $1.28 billion licensing deal with Adidas. Now, you know, in America, it seems like all we know in our sports is Nike, Nike, Nike. Nike rules everything. This is where Adidas, you know, makes their name and does their thing on an international tip with this soccer. Yo, a $1.2 billion licensing deal, though?
Yeah, that's a lot of chicken. That's a lot of money, yo. You know what I'm saying? And those who don't know, like, Adidas damn near owns all the other brands that we love. Like, they own Reebok and Puma and all that. You know, so shout out to Adidas, although they were owned by some of Adolf Hitler's people. That's how they were founded. But that's another story. You know, in the hood, we got our own story with them. Shout out to Run DMC and the Shell Toes. But I agree. In this country, like, it's Nike. It's Nike. Because I'm observing like that, a lot of times when I go out, I like to see, like, you know, what people wearing. Yo, 9 out of 10 people wear Nikes, yo, which is probably why I don't wear them. But it's crazy. It's crazy, like, the amount of equity Nike has in this company, but this country, rather. But when you look at this deal, yo, from a financial standpoint, that is crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Who could do it? Like, what's the biggest? I don't know what the biggest deal is. You know, I don't know what the biggest deal is for Nike, but this is crazy.
Yeah. Well, who has the actual licensing deals for the overall leagues in the U.S.? I mean, that's the kind of stuff you have to look at. But those league deals, I mean, this is not a league. This is just one franchise, Man U.
That's what I'm saying. Like
that type of deal. So.
Yeah, it used to be teams used to have their own deals, but then, you know, the leagues run the deals. It's interesting, though. I wonder, like, what could you compare this to?
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll do some research on that. Hey, but let's switch gears real quick because, you know, we have our guests coming on in a few minutes. Just wanted to ask you guys something real quick about the All-Star Game and Major League Baseball. First of all, Jimmy, I know you're a big baseball fan. Has the home run derby, like, run its course? Like, because to me, it's kind of like the NBA slam dunk contest now where, you know, it doesn't even always have the biggest names in it. So it's like the dunk contest and where we might see some young guys that nobody really knows doing some nice dunks, but it just doesn't have the same moxie as if LeBron James and, you know, people like that were in there doing those exact same dunks. It's just, I don't know. It's a human thing. But do you think the home run derby?
I just don't get excited by it anymore. I don't know how you spruce that up. And the announcers try their best. But, yo, I found myself turning the channel because it's, like, boring. It's boring.
Well, you said the announcers. A lot of people and their complaints stem around the announcers. A lot of people are tired of Chris Berman with his predictable calls. Back.
Yeah, he's trying his best to spruce it up, but, yo, there's nothing you can do with that.
Yeah. I mean, they even, because a few years ago the complaints were how long it was, and it really is a long contest because there's no time limit. You know, you had basically 10 strikes, and guys sit there and watch, you know, 6-7 pitches go by because they're waiting for the right one. They even tried to do something about that this year, and they brought it down to 7 strikes. I don't know exactly how long it took this year because, admittedly, like you, I ended up turning as well. So I don't know how long it was this year, but from all the complaints, I don't know if it helped. But, yeah, I just wanted to ask you guys about that. And, of course, this was the final All-Star game appearance for the great Derek Jeter. And Jeter came out to his to a standing ovation. I even gave him a standing ovation in the living room. I didn't notice I was doing it until I sat down. Like, oh, was I just standing up with the rest of the people? It was kind of weird. It was kind of weird after the fact. But he came out with his usual announcer, with his usual voice.
Now batting for the Yankees, number 2, Derek Jeter, number 2.
All right, last thing about this. Like I said, we got to get to our guests in a minute. Have you guys noticed what the talk is around Derek Jeter? You know, 20 years in the league. Just tell me, how messed up are sports if the greatest praise that people are giving this man is the fact that in 20 years he's never gotten in any real trouble. He's never gotten into scandal. I mean, there's a lot of great things you can say about Derek Jeter, but it seems like that's the point that's been emphasized, you know, in the past week or two, is that in 20 years he's had no real scandal. Is that saying something about sports, or is that really, you know, is that really a compliment to Jeter?
Saying something about society.
There you go. Talk to him.
Bit of both. A little bit of both, but it's more so society, and society dictates what, you know, what goes on within our sports. And Derek Jeter, through the years, has been masterful at controlling his public relations and his image. I mean, he's a master at it. He's a master at it. It's not he doesn't do stuff, because we've heard rumors and stories, but he never lets it get out.
Well, the stuff that we heard rumors and stories about, though, is like, you know, is it really wrong? He was never married, so it's not like the stuff he was doing was at the expense of some woman who loves him. So, you know, do your thing if you're single. That's, a lot of these guys should take notes on that and stay single until they finish, you know, being in this type of limelight. But you can't.
Yeah, it's probably because a lot of these guys have never really experienced the moisture before becoming professionals, and Jeter probably did, so he wasn't, like, blown away by it. But he definitely did a masterful job, as D. Austin once said, or just said, rather. It is something to be said, though, especially considering how all of our shows start out when reporting the news. And every day, you're talking about a 24/7 news cycle. There's always stories breaking, and there's always something going on with someone. And for him to be as popular as he is, playing for who he plays for, and having the image that he has and not have it tarnished is amazing, because you would think that someone would try to tarnish it just because it is squeaky clean. I mean, Derek Jeter has done nothing wrong other than release that terrible cologne that smells like trash. Other than that, I mean, he's had an exemplary career. Like, salute to Derek Jeter. And also salute for my man Action Bronson in your commercial. That commercial was dope.
Yeah, I really dig that commercial. Respect to Derek Jeter. Okay, last thing. We're going to find out
10 years from now that he's a serial killer.
definitely the last thing we'll talk about before we get our guests on the line to talk some NBA free agency. We spoke about Jimmy Graham and his whole arbitration a few weeks ago about the franchise tag and what he should be classified as. Of course, we know that he was classified as a tight end, but he didn't get the franchise tag after all. They got the deal done, and he gets 4 years, $40 million, $21 million guaranteed. of course, the biggest contract ever for an NFL tight end. Do you guys think, I mean, we all know in sports, you know, some people, I wouldn't really put Jimmy Graham in this category, but some people, maybe like LeBron type people, really can't be paid their absolute worth. But then again, we have the other side of that coin where we think, you know, these sports and these children's games, we think people are getting paid too much when way more people, important people in society, aren't getting much. But do you guys think by NFL tight end standards, do you think this is fair? Because I've actually heard people say, and people are in our community on Facebook saying, that Jimmy Graham got a raw deal on this one. Do you guys agree with that?
He's a market maker, first of all. He's setting the market for his position, and not only his position, but the way he plays the position. So he's probably one of three guys out there that you could say are the best at what they do lining up at that position. And so he set the mark for those guys to kind of follow. But I feel like it's football, and it goes back to a conversation that we've had through the years when people don't understand the risks associated with that game. You can't really fully guarantee contracts. You can't pay guys NBA numbers or baseball numbers because at any moment their career can be done. I mean, basically playing football as a gladiator sport is signing up and agreeing to kill yourself a little bit faster through blunt force trauma than living a normal life. So it's kind of, you know, no other sport that I can think of rivals that. So as an owner, I can't pay these guys the same thing that I can pay other athletes because of the violence in their sport. They can be gone at any moment.
A lot of fans are concentrating on this whole the arbitration and the tag thing, and I keep trying to explain to people that really has no bearing on the situation now because he didn't end up getting a franchise tag. I had a conversation today where somebody tried to tell me that the franchise tag determines what, you know, the max salary would be for somebody in the position, and I tried to explain to them, this is not the NBA. These guys don't have a max salary. If somebody was stupid enough to do it, you can go out and pay a tight end quarterback money, but that would be dumb. But so, you know, the tag doesn't determine the value. Actually, market value, it depends on which team jumps out there and sets the market value, which the Saints just did, making him the highest paid tight end, you know, ever. They're actually determining the tag since the tag is the average of the top five tight end salaries in the league. But I think a lot of people get that twisted and really don't understand, you know, the whole franchise tag thing in football.
Yeah, I can even help him out. And I thought about this a long time after we had the episode dealing with the tag issue and him. And I said, it's actually a good thing that he was not designated as a wide receiver. Short term, it would have been cool for the tag, but long term for negotiations, if I'm the Saints, I'm going to come back and I'm going to say, well, we're going to look at you as a wide receiver like you want. And if we look at you as a wide receiver, your production is below the top 10 wide receivers in the game, so we're not going to give you some world-breaking contract because, you know, you fall in the, you know, 2015 to 25 range in terms of production and numbers. And they definitely would have used that.
I think he did very well because if you look at guaranteed money, there's only five wide receivers in the entire league whose contract included more guaranteed money than Jimmy Graham.
Listen,
so $21 million guaranteed.
Let's just nip this in the bud. He got a lot of guaranteed money, which in the realm of football is, like, you know, one of the more important things. Shout out to him getting his money. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, in the words of the great Chuck D, everybody always want to count somebody money, but they don't want to count their bills. So shout out to Jimmy Graham, man. Let's move on, brothers.
With that, we're gonna switch gears and talk a little bit NBA free agency. Actually, that's what's going to be the subject for the rest of our time this evening. But we're going to have on our guest, Josh Planos. Like I told you guys earlier, he writes for the Washington Post, ESPN, True Hoops Network, Fansided, a bunch of different outlets. I'll let him tell you guys himself. So, Josh, are you there? Welcome to the War Room.
What's good, guys? Thanks for having me.
Pretty good.
Hey,
man,
Josh.
I was about to run off your resume, but it might take another 5 minutes. So,
you pretty much knocked it all out. Don't even worry about it.
I saw a whole lot more, but thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Let's get right into this NBA free agency talk, and of course, we got to start with LeBron James. So, you know, I just want to know, this is Devin, by the way, I want to know, what were your thoughts when he finally made this decision? Like, were you surprised? I know for the few days leading up to it, we kind of found out that this was a possibility, but I'm not sure how many people thought this was possible a year ago. So going back to Cleveland, did that shock you in any way?
Yeah, I mean, really all free agency period, I've been the guy in Miami's corners saying that, you know, he's going to go back. He's going to, you know, play out the end of Wade's career. But, you know, you can't put a price tag on home. And quite frankly, that's a better situation right now. I mean, you're going into a lineup that he'll be the fourth number one overall pick on that team. And, you know, he's bringing his shooters with him. He's got Mike Miller coming back with him. They're trying to regroup with Ray Allen if Ray Allen's going to, you know, not retire for another year. And, yeah, he's coming back to Cleveland, I guess. I guess I was wrong the whole time.
What about and this is the main reason why I thought it could never be possible, the Dan Gilbert factor. We all know how it went when LeBron left. He wrote the letter, which coincidentally stayed up on their website until about, you know, 2 days before they realized it was real and LeBron was going to come back. How shocking is it, because you mentioned home, so the assumption is with the letter that LeBron wrote that he's placing home over Dan Gilbert, but is it shocking to see him go back and actually play for this man's organization after, you know, how
yeah.
it was when he left?
No, I think you nailed it right in the head. I mean, I don't know if I could, you know, do the same thing, go back and play for someone who just, you know, lambasted me practically threw my jersey through the streets and, you know, pretty much right. called Cleveland to, you know, burn his jerseys. Obviously he didn't, you know, write out that anyone should do that, but like, you know, if that's your boss, I can't see myself going back to work for someone like that, especially after, you know, not that what he did is at all comparable to what Donald Sterling did, but, you know, when the players are now questioning the ownership more than ever, I would say, I think that's, right. you know, something that's happened in the league. He certainly seemed, you know, quick to get over it. Like you said, it's pretty ridiculous that the letter stayed up on the website as long as it did. I mean, that's a pretty shameful move.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't understand why Donald Sterling's name even comes up in this topic. But I mean, it was out there when it happened. I mean, you had people like the Reverend Jesse Jackson coming out and saying, "Well, Dan Gilbert was displaying a slave master mentality," and so, you know, there was some racial undertones. I mean, whether he meant it or not, people made it that way. So it definitely has to be mentioned with things like the Donald Sterling situation. Let's talk about the Heat for a minute and how this leads them. The news came down after LeBron made his decision that they were actually going to up the ante for Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh ends up staying. Now we know that Dwayne Wade is getting his contract together. They signed Luol Deng. How, you know, with LeBron leaving, we know he can't be replaced. But where do you see the Miami Heat, and does it all hinge on the knees of Mr. Wade?
I mean, I think people forget that, you know, Miami plays in the rancid Eastern Conference. So they're going to make the postseason again in 2015. Like, you're talking about Atlanta getting in being six games below 500. I mean, really, it's just if you have a roster of five guys who can, you know, play the however many minutes, you know, you're pretty much guaranteed the postseason unless you you know, you hit self-destruct. I think people also are quick to forget that, you know, Bosch, Wade, Norris Cole, Udonis Haslem, even Mario Chalmers, you know, were on those championship teams. Yeah, LeBron's the best player on the planet. Of course, he's the marquee player of every franchise he's been at. But it's not like they're a dumpster fire now, you know. They brought on Josh McRoberts, Luol Deng, and Danny Granger, although I have no idea what they're trying to do with Danny Granger because, like, that guy hasn't played more than, you know, 40 games in that, it's probably, like, 4 or 5 years. So, you know, I guess if he can be strong on the wings, because right now they really don't have a whole lot of depth there. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, if you can get a Danny Granger for that cheap and he plays halfway as good as he, you know, played at his peak, then I guess it could be a good investment.
Sure. I don't see him being an elite team anymore. I don't see him getting past, you know, Chicago, Cleveland, Indiana, Toronto, Washington. I think all those squads, you know, took a significant step forward either last season or this offseason period. So, yeah, I mean, best of luck to them, I guess.
Okay, well, the Cavaliers. We know, you know, the talk is there about the Cavaliers trying to get Kevin Love. But let's throw that out for a second. And as currently constructed, what do you think the potential is for the Cavaliers in this Eastern Conference? Do you make them the favorite automatically with LeBron and this young group behind them?
No, you know, I still think that it took LeBron a couple of years. Yeah, he was super young, but it took LeBron and his teammates a couple of years to buy into, I think at the time it was Mike Brown's system. You know, those years, I think it was 07, 08, 08, 09, where they went on to have the best record in the NBA at the regular season. You know, they're entering a division that's brutal. I think the Central Division looks like it might be the most difficult NBA division race since, you know, 05, 06, when all five teams from the division qualified for the playoffs. It's going to be a brutal test. But like I said, they've got four number one overall picks. I think Wiggins has good potential. He's played super well in the summer league from what I've seen. And, you know, you can't ever count out LeBron. So, yeah, I also think they made some good off-season moves. Joe Harris is a new addition on the wing. Like I said, they brought on Mike Miller, and they're trying to bring on the three-point kingpin, Ray Allen. We'll see. They were disastrous shooters last year. So, you know, hopefully Kyrie can take the next step. I think anyone can, you know, become a pretty substantial player if they're paired around LeBron. So I guess we'll just have to see. But right now I see them as maybe like a three or four seed in the East.
Josh, okay, so how are you?
Great.
That last thing, Jim, if they complete that, though, if they complete the Ray Allen thing, they already got Mike Miller, and if they do end up trading for Kevin Love, because I am hearing rumors that they may be willing to part with Wiggins now. Now, you put Kevin Love in the fold, Ray Allen in the fold. Now, does that automatically make them the favorite, in your opinion?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's hard to look past having Kevin Love on your team. You know, pairing unless they give up Wiggins, though, I just don't see it happening. I know that, like, everyone's coming out with their conspiracy theory for how the Cavs are gonna, you know, shop Varejao or shop you know, a bunch of future assets to Minnesota. But Minnesota knows that they're in the driver's seat right now. Yeah, they know they don't want Kevin Love to come back because he's probably going to be super miserable there. But I think they know that they can get Wiggins out of the package, and right now it doesn't seem like that's feasible from the Cleveland perspective. But yeah, I mean, if they get Kevin Love, I mean, yikes. I don't know who's going to be able to match up with them.
Well, Josh, I just want to change the conversation real fast. What I want to know is this. I know it's difficult to turn down that kind of money, but do you think that Carmelo made the right decision to stay in New York?
No, thank you. Thank you for asking that, by the way, because I was born and raised in Chicago, so obviously, I was pulling for him to go to the Bulls. You know, I figured, like, it just made so much sense, you know, go and fit yourself in a system. You've never played in one of those before. You're terrible at defense. Jimmy Butler will shoulder all of your minutes, take the most difficult matchup every night, and all you have to do is be a volume shooter, which you've proven to be super good at. So it just made so much sense for him to go to Chicago. It fulfilled all of their needs. If, you know, he really cared about winning, then I think that he would have done that. But also, you know, I'm never going to have a situation or be presented with one where I can walk away from $30 million. But if I were offered that, you know, clearly I'm probably going to, you know, think twice about uprooting my whole family, you know, taking my new wife and my son and you know, going to the Midwest. But I just don't see him winning in New York. But, you know, also, how are you going to turn down that kind of money?
Absolutely. Here's my other question, though. Do you have any confidence that Phil Jackson can build a championship team around him?
I think it's going to be tough. I certainly don't think it happens next year. Like I said, they play in the East, you know? So
yeah.
I guess there's the possibility you could get to the playoffs, but it kind of seems like J.R. Smith is on his own system when he gets on the court, and obviously that doesn't bode well for Jackson or for Melo. You can tell how upset Melo was getting with him last season. It's also tough winning when you've got, you know, Amari Stoudemire's old legs and Andrea Bargnani's whatever Andrea Bargnani brings to, you know, your team. So I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be super tough for them to, you know, climb the mountain. And I think they might get in as one of like the bottom three seeds in the conference. But I don't see them making a run in the playoffs.
Got you. Yeah, so let me ask you a question.
So,
what are some of the other moves in free agency that really got your attention? I know that you write for the Washington Post, so what do you think about, you know, like the Wizards or things like that?
Yeah, the Wizards have had a solid offseason, I think. As soon as they lost Ariza, you know, it seemed like it was instantaneous that they just, you know, nabbed Paul Pierce and brought in, you know, the franchise and finish up his career probably in Washington. I think that's a good look. Bradley Beal obviously made huge strides last year. Him and John Wall are a pretty sick backcourt. I think, you know, few would argue that. You know, they brought back Marcin Gortat. Can't really remember who they drafted, but I think Washington's in a good spot. I think Washington and Toronto are super comparable teams. I also liked what Toronto did by getting Kyle Lowry his paycheck, because he did a lot for them last year. I think people forget that. You know, they intentionally went to him in Game 7 on that last possession against Brooklyn for the final shot. Intentionally, you know, went to him over DeMar DeRozan, who was still in the game at the time, because Lowry became an elite player last year, and I think he deserved to get paid like one. So that was a good move on their part.
Yep.
Yes, and you had a question for Jeff?
No, go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay.
All right, yeah, so you said that you think that Washington is doing a good job. But here's my next question in terms of free agency or what have you. Who's the biggest loser?
I mean, that's tough. I think it's maybe I want to say it's a tie between – so basically – I had an answer for this a couple of hours ago, but then Carlos Boozer got signed by the Lakers off waivers a little bit ago.
Right.
So now I've vaulted Los Angeles into the driver's seat there. I think, like I said, I mean, I follow the Bulls pretty religiously, and Carlos Boozer is super weak in the post. I mean, at every possible juncture, they Thibodeau would, you know, sub him out because he can't play defense on anyone anymore. So I don't really know why. I guess LA brought him on because they really have, I think now, two power forwards. Yeah, they got rid of like five power forwards at the end of last season. I'm big on Julius Randle, but you know, it's his first year in the league, and I don't see him you know, being able to dominate a game. I think Jeremy Lin's an interesting fit. But have fun playing alongside like the oldest backcourt to ever play professional basketball. You know, I hope Kobe's back strong enough to carry the franchise for another year.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that the, you know, the Lakers weren't bigger players and all this. I mean, but the big names that they expected really didn't move. Of course, LeBron moved, but he kind of made it clear that if he was going to leave Miami, it was only going to be for Cleveland. So they probably never really had a shot there. So Carmelo would have been their saving grace. And from what I understand, it came down to New York and Chicago. So they weren't really in the mix for Carmelo too much either. So, yeah, I would probably have them in the driver's seat as well. And, Jimmy, for individual players, prior to him getting his deal, I would have said Dwayne Wade. But I do think the Heat have made some pretty good, you know, moves, considering they just lost the best player in the world. The fact that Bosch stayed, I thought Dwayne Wade would have been the biggest loser in free agency, bar none, had he opted out of a contract that there was no chance he was going to get back because of his level of production right now. And LeBron and Bosch leave, yeah, he would have been that guy. But I think it's not as bad as it could have been for him.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
All right, so last thing, Josh, before we get you out of here, because it seems like this whole thing has been about the Eastern Conference. So do you think the Eastern Conference has been strengthened? What do you think it'll look like next season?
Well, I don't think it can look much worse. You know, I think last year was kind of a travesty. I felt super bad for Phoenix that they played as well as they did and still couldn't get out of the West.
Right.
You know, the sport's just less fun when one side of the league is dominant. We saw in the 80s that I think it was the NFC was dominating Super Bowls. They won like 12
right.
in a row or something, and it's just not fun anymore to watch. So I mean, like, and really their saving grace was that, you know, Miami was stacked, and now I think that it's not just a Miami representing the Eastern Conference scenario. I think you know, Chicago can certainly put up a fight against someone. It'll be interesting to see if Indiana makes any moves to fill Lance Stevenson's spot, or if they're just going to assume that CJ Miles is like the same player, which he, you know, totally isn't. And just to see if Roy Hibbert can last a whole season, I think that's going to be interesting. But right now I see like three or four solid teams coming out of the East. Hopefully Toronto and Washington makes that next step. Hopefully LeBron brings Cleveland back to being relevant, and hopefully the Western Conference just takes it a little bit easier on everyone next year. But, you know, that remains to be seen.
Yeah. I think that's the difference from 4 years ago when LeBron left Cleveland. Now that he's leaving Miami, you know, if Dwayne Wade can show any semblance of remaining healthy, they still have Bosch, and they made a couple of good moves when they were basically making moves to lure LeBron to stay. So he's not leaving the franchise dead like he did when he left Cleveland. When he left Cleveland, he just left a whole team that was just unwatchable. They weren't going to win any games. He's leaving now, and it doesn't take a team completely out of it in the Eastern Conference. You know, you still have Miami to compete. I don't know how well they'll compete, but like you said, they're probably a shoe-in for the playoffs. All right, so we definitely thank you for joining us. We can do this anytime, you know, whenever you want to talk. We can talk some basketball. But I'll let you do this. You tell the people where they can find you on the Internet, your Twitter handle, you know, where you write. Basically, do your commercial.
Sure. Well, thanks again, guys, for having me on. I appreciate it. I know that you guys, you know, have your own agenda and whatnot, but I appreciate you letting me be a part of it, and I'd love to come back on whenever you guys you know, need a guest. You guys can find me at Washington Post Sports. You can find me at the ESPN True Hoop Network. You can find me at FanSided and the Pick and Roll, and my Twitter handle is at JPLANOS. So thanks again for having me, guys.
All right, thanks, Josh. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again soon.
Talk soon.
All right, Josh,
take it easy. All right, that's Josh Planos, everybody. He told you where you can find him, so get on that Internet. Make sure you find him. he's a great writer, so check out some of his articles if you want to talk some hoops. All right, so let's just, Jim, well, let me let you guys know where you can find us. As usual, you can check out our website, warroomsports.com, to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics, and we're about to talk a little bit more. We're about to give our final thoughts on this whole LeBron James to Cleveland thing, and if we have time after that, which I'm hoping we do, because we've talked about this situation ad nauseum. So, you know, you definitely can check us out at warroomsportstv.com. We talked about it there. You can check out Pop Spot Sports Radio. That's on the War Room Sports Podcast Network, WRSPN.com. Jimmy and I were guests on that show on Monday, and we spoke about LeBron for basically an hour. So basically we're going to give you the condensed version right now and give you our final thoughts on it. But if anybody wants to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you'd like to talk. So, Jimmy, let's talk about some b-ball. Let's give our thoughts.
Man, let's
all
talk
this
about
stuff
that.
That's been going down. Let's
that's right. The NBA Wrap is brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Just go to our website at wolverinesports.com and click on the Fanatics logo. That's right on our main page. Or click on our sponsors page. You can get the latest in football, basketball, hockey, baseball, NCAA sports gear and more, some MMA, some boxing gloves. You can get it all from Fanatics. wolverinesports.com. Click on that Fanatics logo.
Do it.
Let's talk some basketball.
We got to get all this out of the way now because you know we're starting soon. And nobody's going to want to hear about basketball in about a week or so.
Absolutely not.
So
this is true.
Talk about this thing of ours while we still can.
National Football League.
Let's talk about La Costa Nostra right now. LeBron Raymond James, he chose Cleveland. We just mentioned it with Mr. Planos. But let's get you guys to give your thoughts, your overall thoughts. Were you surprised? Why did he leave? So let's just talk about LeBron going to Cleveland.
I was
B. Austin, you wanna, I was about to say, because you didn't get to talk to Modi on Pop Spot, so let the people know how you feel.
Yeah, I was very surprised. You know, I was one of the folks that was saying that, you know, he was going to step out there, create a whole swirl of media, talk to a few teams, make Pat Riley nervous, and then end up coming back to the Heat and re-upping. Now, the thing that I look at this from several different perspectives. So as a business person, when I examine what LeBron is doing, it's actually brilliant, man. Like, it's really brilliant. He's deciding to sign these short-term deals, banking on the fact that he is literally the hottest commodity in basketball, and maybe he's definitely top five hottest commodities in sports, period. So he's going to go to Cleveland, play for 2 years at the max, and then I think the CBA is up in 2017
TV deal.
When he's a free agent.
It's going to be a new TV deal coming.
A new TV deal coming up, and that's going to push the player's max salary much higher, because it's been static for the last 5 years. So LeBron, what I speculate, and this isn't all my idea, but I've heard this and I agree with it. I think LeBron is setting himself up for kind of a back-end deal, kind of the way Michael Jordan did in the last 2 years of him playing for the Bulls. I think LeBron, when he signs,
be awesome.
The numbers are going to be astronomical.
Yeah, we understand all of that. Like, nobody, and I don't think the staunchest LeBron hater can say anything about the way he and his team handle their business. So we all know that, you know, business is in mind and you know, those things, but how do you feel about him going back to Cleveland? Like, you know, we talked about it with you a little bit on
I feel he sold himself short.
and he was verbally disrespected. I think that Dan Gilbert, the Cleveland Cavalier organization, and then the fans following their lead went overboard, and they crossed the line with the amount of disrespect and venom that they hurled towards LeBron for making a decision to leave. It was crazy. And I don't believe Dan Gilbert had any racial overtones to his or undertones to his petulant child act. I just think he's just that. A rich dude used to always get in his way, and LeBron wields a little bit more power than he's used to dealing with in superstar athletes. And dude stepped off and said, no, I'm taking my brand elsewhere. And Dan Gilbert hated that. And so to have the letter that he wrote come out in the media and say the things he did, posted on the team's website for 4 years, why would you go back to work for that? Because it's not even about Cleveland or Akron, Ohio. You can do wonderful things for those places if that's what is in your heart. You can do them from anywhere in the world. And you can come back in all season. You can even make visits during the season. So I don't buy into that. I think he sold himself out. I don't think you go and you work because you can play for any franchise in the world and get top dollar.
All right, but my thing is, and, you know, we've talked about it during the week, and Jimmy has shown me another perspective that I don't totally disagree with. But, you know, when you talk about the letter that LeBron wrote and everybody is saying how he's choosing home over business, and, you know, I think one would be a little bit naive to fully buy into that. I'm 100% sure that, of course, you know, home has something to do with it, but at the same time, as Jimmy and I have rapped about all week, this story is the story that's going to sell the most, and we know LeBron is out there to become that first billion-dollar athlete. Yeah, this story is what's going to sell the most, and while you're selling this the most and making as much money as you possibly can, his impact will help, you know, his home state. It will help Ohio, and hopefully, you know, this financial impact trickles down to the people who really need it, because we know the billionaire Dan Gilbert is going to see a windfall from this as well. And I agree with you, B. Austin, in the fact that I found it hard to believe that he would even consider going back to Cleveland while this man was still the owner of this franchise. In my personal life, I'm not a grudge holder at all, but I just think in this situation, it's bigger than just, you know, LeBron holding a grudge against Dan Gilbert. LeBron is, I wouldn't say on the forefront, but and I don't know if it's contrived or not. I tend to think that it is sometimes, but LeBron usually lets his voice be heard when there's some kind of injustice, you know, going on in sports. Racial things, you know, he and his team did the whole photo with the hoods on for Trayvon. I don't think he does anything super risky, but at least he lets his voice be heard. And we know a lot of people, a lot of icons that have come before him, not a lot of them, but Michael Jordan in particular, his voice is just wouldn't be heard on anything. So I'm thinking if LeBron is that guy who fights for these causes and he wants to be a half activist, when it affects him directly, like, why is there not that same stance? And like you said, I do think he can do it for his hometown basically from anywhere. And he had the whole league to choose from, you know, if he had the whole league at his disposal. I just don't understand.
I know you got a lot to say on this. I just wanted to say that definitely you and I agree about the contrived nature of the story. And I do think that Nike is involved in this one because the whole league and the world is about selling a story. It's not about selling the team or even selling the sport anymore. And the story of him returning home, it has those elements of the prodigal son and all of that. And so that is a springboard
to take him to billions and to take the brands that are associated with him to billions. So it's a sellable, thing. But that, go ahead.
Oh, all I wanted to say is that, you know, I was jokingly saying before that he would go home just being a conspiracy theorist. But allegedly LeBron, you know, they were trying to make up. He called Dan Gilbert and he was like, yo.
Roll with us, cause you know we got it. We got it. Roll with us, cause you know we got it.
But no, seriously though, my perspective is a little different. I do believe in things being contrived. I do understand the business aspect. And like I said before, shout out to the homie Frank Santos from the Sports Kings who put me down on LeBron's website where, you know, it says, like, businessman, family man, philanthropist. Like, the last thing is athlete. The first thing is businessman. Mm-hmm. How you going to put that before family man? But anyway, so LeBron, LeBron considers himself a businessman first. And I also know just from talking to people that a lot of us assume that athletes are in it for what my brother calls competitive greatness and winning championships. And some dudes really are just looking at this for a springboard for the rest of their lives. LeBron wants to be a businessman. You know what I mean? So this makes perfect sense in that whole narrative of selling, like, stories as opposed to athletes or selling teams, selling the story. He just happened to have to do business with someone, you know. And I understand that it may not have been racist, but, you know, I mean, white supremacy is a mind state. And part of what he was saying, and being that spoiled person, was like, I'll dare this person, you know, for, you know, basically move on with his business. Because he put him out there and left the letter up for a long time. But here's what I also find interesting, right? According to Dan Gilbert, like, it was one of those things where after LeBron made that decision, he realized the impact of his decision to not only the Cavaliers but the entire state of Ohio. Because they said that Dan Gilbert knew 3 years ago LeBron wanted to come home. And basically there's only one way to come home, and that's like, yo, you got to play for me if you come back here. But he already knew. And remember we used to joke about that? All the Cavs are setting up for LeBron to come back. It was a joke. But allegedly, really LeBron had, like, you know, put the word out 3 years ago, even as the Heat were winning championships. And that's why I tend to believe a little bit of the letter. Now, we all know that, you know, it was contrived. Some of it was contrived, and he had help writing it or what have you. But with some of the things that he says are consistent with him wanting to go. Like, basically, he didn't realize, you know, there are little kids who look up to him. He actually said, like, what if I was one of the – that's why he doesn't hold the grudge. Like, if it was an athlete in Cleveland and he was one of the little kids in Ohio, he would have felt the same way, wanting to burn their jersey and whatnot. He didn't realize the impact of going. You know what I'm saying? It's sort of like when you with a chick, she getting on your nerves and you cut her off, then you find yourself calling her late at night like, yo, y'all been there. Don't – you know what I mean? Y'all been there, though. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
Yo, stop bringing up old –
That's a whole nother story. But you realize the effect of the decision you make after you make it. And like I've been saying, that LeBron is unlike any athlete we've ever seen in terms of, like, you know, Jordan or Kobe or Shaq, and the fact that he grew up in the bubble since he was 15. So he's kind of like growing up before us. He's made a lot of childish decisions. He's, you know, he's draped his way through the NBA. But you can kind of see him growing up and becoming a man before our eyes. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and that's another aspect of this whole thing of going home and, like, you know, so we're righting his wrongs. And that's also something that can be marketed.
Yeah.
The whole thing falls in place for him. And I don't think that it's completely contrived, but there's certain elements that don't sit right with me because of the message that it conveys at large. You know, the LeBron sycophants and the general public don't look at it, the message that's conveyed in terms of Dan Gilbert. So Dan Gilbert can say and do all of these things and lead his organization and lead the fans in this manner, but now you got to come back and work for him. Like, that, what message does that set? And what tone does that set? So, you know, I don't know, but business over everything else, dollars over everything. So,
well, you guys know
you're gonna get
my
to that
approach. Village. You guys know my approach, and this is basically the last thing I want to say about it, because I do want to get to the rest of the league, because we've talked about it all week. I don't want to shortchange our radio program, but like I said, you guys can watch our opinions on this.
and how they may change, you know, have changed throughout the weeks. If you listen to all those outlets that I told you about, War Room Sports TV, we did something about it. And if you listen to the latest episode of Pop Spot Sports Radio on the WRSPN.com on the network, you can hear, you know, the conversations that we've had about this all week. But the people that I kind of wanted to bring to task in this whole thing, Jimmy spoke about it a little bit earlier when we talked about people's reaction to the Dan Gilbert letter. There were a lot of black people out there, and B. Austin, you mentioned it too. There were a lot of black people out there who went straight for the race card. Now, we've come to the conclusion that we think the race card was played basically to protect LeBron. These were people who were going to protect LeBron no matter what. So to justify his decision, it was kind of good for those folks that Dan Gilbert did this, because then that's something they can say, see, look, he doesn't need to be there. That's how the owner thinks or whatever. Jesse Jackson came out with the slave master mentality thing, and a lot of people ran with it. I'm not even saying that I don't understand, because I can see the undertones in his comments. I can see where someone would get that from, and I can say that I basically, maybe not wholeheartedly, but I agree with that. There was some type of mentality in there, whether it was racist, whether it was supremacist, there was something there. Now, a lot of black people came to LeBron's defense with the race card and said this Cleveland, Dan Gilbert, Cleveland, because of the way they acted in the streets, they don't deserve LeBron and they never deserve LeBron again. This is what they get. But when LeBron did a 180 and decided to go back to Ohio, everybody was patting him on the back. The same people that were saying Cleveland never deserves him again were patting him on his back for going home, and now their excuse is, well, home is important, and he wants to help out home and everything. And Jimmy had to school me to this. He was like, yo, those are the people that are going to give him an excuse no matter what. So you can't really expect much from those people. But I'm just wondering how you can play the race card, say that Dan Gilbert is this and that and never deserves LeBron again, but when LeBron goes back and plays for the guy, and I kind of call him the task on it, like, how can you go back and play for him? You know, nobody's there with me anymore. Now it's cool because LeBron decided it was cool, so now they no longer think that Cleveland nor Dan Gilbert deserves the services and the financial windfall that LeBron James brings. That's what I don't understand, folks. It's not really about LeBron, as usual. It's about the people we talk to every day, the people who went crazy when Dan Gilbert did this stuff, and the people who've been slamming Cleveland for the last 4 years. But now all of a sudden it's cool.
Some of LeBron fans are out of control. LeBron could, like, pee on their mom, and they probably would blame their own mother.
Ask their mom what she did. What you do?
Yeah, what you do wrong, Mom? And I'm not even exaggerating. I'm being dead serious. There are certain athletes, entertainers, actors who reach a level where, like, you know, and I think the worst out of all this, and this is nothing to do with LeBron. Actually, it does. I mean, the worst out of all this is Beyonce fans. They're the absolute worst. But there are certain people that reach a level where they have, like, Stanleys that it doesn't matter what they do. So I don't even think they put that much thought into it. Wherever LeBron went, they would have justified. LeBron could have signed with the Milwaukee Bucks, and they would have made a big deal talking about how he wanted to build up Milwaukee, and that team has never won. You know, they would have went crazy,
Jimmy,
like that.
Right. LeBron could have found, like I saw on the Onion, LeBron could have signed B. Austin with Al-Qaeda, and they would have found a way to justify
yo,
it.
Yo,
they would have, yeah, they would have found a way to create a narrative that paints their hero as
but you know,
the good
what
guy
I find,
in all of this. Go ahead.
What I find interesting is these are the same people who are Michael Jordan stans. And what's the common denominator, man? It's the swoosh, man. The swoosh runs all this, man. You can't say nothing about Mike that way. Mike fans are just as bad as LeBron fans. I mean, I saw you fighting with him online this week when you were talking about how Jordan fans act like nothing negative ever happened to Michael Jordan. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's the same people. It's the same mentality. And a lot of these are the same people.
Well, remember, dude posted that photo
Before we're black or white, we're human. And as human mm-hmm. beings, when we look at the condition of society, there's not enough adversity or true organic growth in the human condition. And I don't mean to take this real too deep, but there's not enough growth in the human condition to create organic things that grow character. So we place so much value on these athletes and entertainers and heroes. It's like we need heroes because there are no more natural heroes. There's a void in leadership, particularly in the black community. There's a void in leadership. So LeBron is a guy where they're going to make excuses for him.
That's been done systematically, man. That's the whole bread and circuses theory. That's been done systematically, man. So we can do things like, you know, drop bombs on Palestine or what have you, but we don't care because we're watching LeBron James and what happens with him. I mean, these things are done systematically, man, and I agree with your premise, but I also think that it's done systematically. The one last thing I want to say before we move on from LeBron, because I also agree with Dez. Yo, we talked about this ad nauseum. But B. Austin, I know you said he made it look like everything was all about money, but the one thing I did appreciate in the letter was the fact that he brought up people leaving Cleveland to go to school or the whole mentality of, yo, I got to get out of here.
Right.
He said he wanted to change that by, you know, coming back. So, like, look, I went to Miami to do what I do, but I want to come back and help build up this community and this state and this city, and maybe more will do it, not specifically with athletes, but it could be doctors, lawyers, engineers, whatever. Just come back to Cleveland and help build the community up. So I thought that was honorable, although I agree with Dev that it's probably contrived because Dev don't believe anybody has, like, an honest bone in their body no more. He's been completely thrown off by sports. He thinks everybody's lying.
Man.
But I still think it was a dope statement nonetheless.
Everybody lying.
Anyway, man.
Even Lance was lying, and he had cancer. Come on, Lance.
Yo, life, live strong. Yo,
man,
I am just for something real quick. Side note.
Where's that?
Yo,
where's
nobody
that money
wears their bracelets no more, yo.
I don't see them anymore. I used to actually
yeah,
wear
think
one.
About
I
that.
I used to wear
yo.
One every day. And my
yo,
joint popped. I can't.
Just think about that.
I'm cool.
Yo,
man.
Lance Armstrong ruined cancer research. Anyway. Let's talk about the New York Knickerbockers. But hold on, though. We actually have a couple calls on the line.
Yeah, let's get
we got our people that want to call in. Let's see you, Tobias, Chicago Bulls fan, Roll Tide. They got
Roll
Tide.
Roll Tide.
SEC Media Days, the King spoke today, King Nick Saban. But here's the thing. All right, first. I should be having another drink because Kirk Heinrich made more comeback to the Bulls than Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers combined. Good Lord. He just won't tell the guy he won't want you no more.
He a lifer.
I'm like, dude, can we just get Augustine? At least Augustine can make a shot. You know, but LeBron's going to Cleveland.
You know what, though, Tobias, thinking about that, if you get buckets for the Bulls and your name is not Derrick Rose, they do not mess with you the next year. They got rid of Nate Robinson, let him walk.
Nate Robinson.
Augustine might walk. It's crazy. But go ahead.
Bellinelli.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Everybody thought Derrick Rose being hurt. One day he's going to be healthy. He just can't tear his knee up or something every year. You know, he's going to have some good luck sooner or later. But after a while, you'll get tired of carrying the damn team every single year, being the only one who will break somebody down off the dribble. That gets tiresome. And a lot of these players today don't want to do that except for Carmelo. But at the same time with Carmelo, I can't fault him for taking that money. Even though he did take less, $6 million, but I don't blame him for taking the money. Because that's just right, and those players need to take the money because they've been getting housed on this collective bargaining agreement every time out. They need to take their money.
Yeah, this is true, man. What's up with Pau Gasol? How you feel about Pau Gasol, man?
It's kind of like, you know, you want the hot girl, the 10, but you see her friend as a 7. You know? I think
why not have them in Nas and have them both?
That is true. But, you know, I think if the Cavaliers don't get Kevin, even if they get Kevin Love, I'm not going to pencil them to win the whole East. because I think if things stay the way it is, I like the Bulls' chances coming out the East. I still think Miami's going to be a 45-plus win team next year.
Oh, yeah.
And because people forget how good Chris Bosh was before he changed his role.
I mean, this year, Bosh is going to show his ass. Pause. Because he's going
to
show people that
he's already
that he was the player that he used to be. Now, yo, D. Wade is going to play half the season again, and Chris Bosh is going to do what he does, man. Like, yo, watch. Just watch.
And you know
what,
though?
Chris
Bosh
from Danny Granger show.
Yo, 30-10 from Bosh, yo. In the East, 30-10. He got the green light now.
Yo, this is the year that Chris Bosh is going to cement his Hall of Fame legacy, man. Chris Bosh, he's
going to
put up 25-13-4.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
He already ESPN guy talking about Kevin Love. If I'm Cleveland, I'm not trading Wiggins for one reason. You can't name 5-2 guards in the league worth a damn. And he's still on the cheap. So, you know, he's still on a very good contract. I will see what I have with him first, because you may still get Kevin Love outright in free agency anyway. You know, you got LeBron.
What about 2 guards on the league, y'all?
But LeBron has an opt-out after this year, so even though I don't think he's going anywhere, he's putting the pressure on them to do things now with the threat that he could leave. So I don't think they want to wait. I think they want to make that trade.
Yo, how gangster would it be if LeBron left again? Like, I'm basically going to do whatever I want to do, yo. But anyway,
I'm actually rooting for him to do it now. I wasn't really keen on it before. I want him to do it now.
By the way,
I want to see this. I want to see this whole thing get dramatic. I want it to get dramatic.
Who's the best 2 guard in the league, y'all?
Yeah, I want to excuse him. Excuse him for the language. I'm sorry. But, I don't know who it could be, because I think these guys are by default. A lot of these guys are.
I was about to say Paul George, but he plays the 3 now more than he plays the 2.
Yeah,
so
he do.
I don't know.
Hard to play D.
I was going to go with Paul George as well.
I guess defense Harden.
I tell you who's the deep to play this right position. If Russell Westbrook played his natural position as 2 guard, he'd be the best in the league, and it wouldn't be close.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be. It wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing about
still,
that is a lot,
people
a lot
still
of people
try to convince
that.
Me that Harden is a better player than him, and I'm not buying it.
No, I'm not buying that either. But a lot of people say that he should play the 2, but I think that changes that team. Like, him playing a point puts so much pressure on the other defense that
it depends who it is.
Off guard. You know. So anyway, man. But Tobias, man, thanks for the call, man. We'll see what happens. This upcoming season with your tie as well as your Chicago Bulls, to see if your man can stay healthy, man. But cause I think that's your biggest issue right now.
Tobias, roll damn tide right into the Mississippi River.
Hey, whatever, man. Roll damn tide all the way to that championship, baby.
Have a good week, man. Check in with us next week, Tobias.
All right, man.
All right, homie. All right, let's get the other homie on the line. This is Rob. Rob, what's going on, man? Laker fan, our Lakers
all
stink
day.
Right now. We ain't getting nobody. What's going on, man? What's up with our team? You out?
Just a little bit depressed. You know, we kept Nick Young. You know, that's all good.
YGP.
Yo, Rob, I want to tell you something real quick, Rob. You are out there in L.A., right? And here's my thing. I know I criticize all these young people out there who play the knockout game, but if you see Jim Buss in public, man, do me a favor, good brother. Never mind. We'll talk off air, man. What's going on, Rob? What you want to talk about?
Everything that Rose Todd said, you know. And that's Rose Todd. How many players in Alabama go to the Pro Bowl?
Shot fired.
Came at his neck.
But yeah, be honest, went a lot deep on the LeBron thing, man. So, hey.
Yeah, did you watch that video? Did you watch that video on War Room Sports TV? If you haven't, check that out. Because we got into it,
best
you know,
work,
a little deeper
man.
On that.
We got very deep into that conversation about LeBron and the whole. I mean, the title of the video was LeBron going back to the plantation. I mean, that should tell you enough right there.
We actually talked for an hour on that thing, so that's why we couldn't do it again this evening because we already
anyway,
got enough
man,
work out there.
Running out of energy.
All right.
I knew LeBron or Carmelo was not going to go to the Lakers, even though everybody in L.A. really wanted Carmelo more a little bit. I'll give Carmelo an edge because he played in the West.
Hmm.
I mean, hey, I remember I went to the club one time and some dude said to the DJ, give LeBron a shout-out. Man, the DJ turned it down, and he said F LeBron. Everybody said F LeBron. This is Lakers land, man. So.
Okay.
Hello?
I bet you that would all change if LeBron signed with the Lakers, though.
Shoot. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I wear LeBron jersey, shoot.
I hope he comes to the Clippers.
No, he'll just be just another flopper. Like the rest of them. Hello? Y'all all quiet. Hello?
Difficulties because I can't hear anything, any feedback on my end. Okay.
Yo,
we back.
Here we go.
We back.
Yo, I don't know what happened right there, man. I think Jim Buss must have heard my comment and tried to put the kibosh on it, man. But we back though. We back like cook crack words of Jewels. But let's just move on from that. We talked about the Bulls signing Powell. I didn't get you guys' opinion on it, but who cares? Let's talk about this though. This would be what we really want to talk about. Let's talk about Lance Stephenson, Born Ready. He signs with the Charlotte Hornets. What do you guys think about Lance Stephenson's move? 2-4. What do you think? How do you think this hurts the Pacers? And what do you think it does for him as a player and his development as well as the Charlotte Hornets?
I think it hurts
Lance
the
Stephenson
Pacers from
a second.
Go ahead, Dev. No, I was just saying I think it hurts the Pacers from maybe like a heart standpoint. You got cats still like David West, but, Lance Stephenson brought a lot to the team this year, led the league in triple-doubles. I always thought he was kind of wild, and then you have the antics. But, moving to Charlotte, I think, Charlotte is building a nice little lineup down there. Too bad they didn't end up getting Gordon Hayward because that would have been a nice addition to the team as well. But I don't know if he has that veteran presence down there because Lance is only 23. So, you can basically bet, you can book it that those antics aren't going anywhere anytime soon. But it's not like a Pacer team where you got some guys that could possibly calm them down. When he's a little high strung or whatever. On this team, besides Al Jefferson, he's going to be looking to kind of be the man, and I think that's why he signed there. It's obvious he turned down their contract, but the contract that he signed, he didn't take much more money. He's making like a few hundred thousand dollars more per season.
Y'all. Jim Buss is attacking our show right now.
I can hear you.
But
those in the chat room, what do you guys think about Lance and him going to Charlotte as opposed to staying put on a potential championship team in Indiana?
Yeah, I just think he, I don't know, it's a weird situation because he didn't take much, so it shows you he just didn't want to be there. But he will be a free agent again, and he'll still only be like 26 years old. So I think he's trying to take a short-term deal, go to a place and let them know, like, I might be a star in the next few years, and I could try to max out then. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
That's the whole crux of the deal. He's trying to go get his superstar on, let people know that he is a potential big time prime time player, and he's gonna have the ability to take advantage of being a free agent in 3 years at the age of 26. He said that he felt insulted by Indiana's offer because he felt as though he's the second best player on that team.
Well, because it's kind of weird to me how he would turn it down and then not take much more. But at the same time, once you're insulted, then I guess, you know, at that point, there's no way you're going to go back there even if they came back to the table. Plus, it may be a situation where you guys know what I bring. So for you to give me an offer that I think I'm, you know, that doesn't suit me is a little more insulting. If somebody else comes with a similar offer, I still have to go prove myself to them. So yeah, it could be a situation like that. You know, I'm not completely sure. But the Eastern Conference is just getting interesting. I'm not saying it's getting good, but I think at least it will be more interesting next year because it just won't be the Heat and then and a little bit of Pacers and then everybody else. So, born ready.
Yeah, man. I mean, I agree with everything. There's really nothing I can say at this point. I agree that he wants to show how great of a player he is. I wonder if it'll backfire. I'm definitely looking forward to him because we already know he's out of control. You know, so he's going to go out there and just jack it up and try to show that he's the best player. I think that he thinks not only was he the second best player, I think he thinks he's the second best player in the league.
He probably. He probably does.
Yeah, hey, straight up, yo.
Yeah, that young man has no problems with his confidence and self-esteem. Needs to work on his jump shot, though.
Oh, yeah, it's not consistent. It's much better than it was the year before, though. The year before, like, I'd curse at him for taking jump shots. And, you know, this year you start to be a little nervous, and then they actually went in sometimes. So if it keeps improving, he'll be all right. But a team that I definitely wanted to give a shout to is the Wizards, man. They're doing some work in the offseason. You know, Gortat stayed. They got Gortat to stay. They re-signed Gooden. They picked up DeJuan Blair and Chris Humphreys and signed and trade deals. So they're deep, like, in the front court. They're deep at the power forward position because they still have Nene. I think the Wizards are slowly climbing in that right direction. And the way that they structured a lot of these deals, they're trying to leave money for the summer when Kevin Durant becomes a free agent. So they're trying to leave enough money to lure him. The problem with that is going to be the fact that they have a shooting guard who's, by that time, he may be able to command big money himself. So they're going to have to structure that to where Bradley Beal could still fit in, even if they do have a chance to land a Kevin Durant, because he did say, and he might just be doing his LeBron thing right now, but he said, if I ever left Oklahoma City, you know, it would only be for the Wizards. Like, he wouldn't go anywhere else but back home to the Wizards. So, yo, shout out to what they're doing, though, man, because, you know, they signed Pierce. They lost Ariza. That's going to definitely be a drop-off on the defensive end. But Pierce, no matter how old he gets, man, he's still a reliable dude, especially at the end of games. You know, if you get into a situation, you got people on that team now. You got a veteran in Pierce who can make big shots and do big things in big moments. You know, you got Bradley Beal who's coming up. You got John Wall who's controlling everything. And you got some good bigs down there. So, you know, I'm interested to see what what my local team is going to do next year.
Bring back the territorial
draft, man. Gortat is underrated as a pivot. And if Nene can ever remain healthy,
well,
you know,
also it depends on where you're listening to. If you're listening in D.C., he ain't underrated. He might be overrated.
Yeah, you're right. Everywhere else.
Everywhere else, he might be
a little
underrated.
Nene is only ever going to play 62 games out of an 82-game season, But if you can get those 62 at the right time, he's a quality big. They got a nice team. They got a nice squad.
Yo, I want the
Martell Webster off the bench.
Bring the everybody want to play home. Bring the territorial draft, man. It's enough players and enough teams for that league to be filled, man, with everybody having to play for their home team, man. Especially Philly would be dope, though.
Yeah, we'd be all right.
Yo, territorial draft is where it's at, man. But you know what will happen if they try to bring back a territorial draft? Yo, because the world is so crooked and because of agents and greedy parents, you have cats, like, moving from, like, Philadelphia to, like, Los Angeles when they're in third grade.
Maybe
try to set it up in, like, junior high school.
B. Austin, you being a little ambitious trying to get 62 games out of the neck. That's a little ambitious.
Yeah, you're right. I gave him a hot top.
Boy ain't played 62 games since 2010-2011.
Yeah, man. What do you guys think about Mike Miller turning down three for $12 million in Denver to take 2 for $5.5 million from the Cavs to be with LeBron Raymond?
That'll be something that forever I will not understand about this generation. Like, you have people fighting for you, and the CBAs that come up, you know, every few years, you have the organization, the Players Association fighting for you to be able to make a certain amount of money, and these guys are just leaving money on the table. Why? Because you got that Michael Jordan cloud hanging over everybody. Championships are more important than your family these days.
Damn.
I can't call it. Sprewell wouldn't have done it.
Yo, Sprewell would have played anywhere because he had to feed his family, man. Shout out to Sprewell, yo. He had to feed his family, man. Also, speaking of the Miami Heat, who Miller once played for, after losing LeBron, they did retain Bosh, as we previously mentioned, and Wade, but they also brought in Luol Deng. We talked about the other people they brought in terms of Granger as well as Josh McRoberts, but they also signed Luol Deng. We talked to our guest, Mr. Planos, about this. What do you guys see for the Heat?
You got to be.
I see the Heat as being a 45-48 win team and a sixth, maybe even a fifth seed in the East. As I said, I think that Wade may be motivated to get out of women's clothing and really, really ball. I think Chris Bosh is going to show his behind and put up 24-12. And they've got a good roster. Not a great roster, but a good roster. And they're in the East. So I see them being a playoff contender still, playoff team, but not a contender.
I'll give Bosh 22-10. 22-10.
Okay. I'm thinking over.
You know,
I'm going 25-11.
If Wade can go get that plasma treatment done on his knees, that Kobe Germany treatment, then this could be a whole different story because we know what a motivated Dwayne Wade can look like, but we're just not sure if that's even possible anymore.
Man, his legacy is sealed. He has three championships, finals, MVP, many All-Star games. He got his leading money.
He might have something else to prove, though.
Yeah, this is true, man. But anyway, man, let's get out of here this evening. Thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good folks. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook, Twitter, and the calls who chimed in to highlight us. Special thanks to Josh Planos for joining us to talk NBA free agency. Tune in next week, same time, same place, live right here or on demand on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Some more great sports talk. We'll be discussing all the big stories of the week, and yes, NFL training camp coverage will commence. That's right, the National Football League. So until then, enjoy your week. Don't forget, come back here next time. Also, Facebook, Twitter, we are at War Room Sports. Video contents, warroomsportstv.com. All of our network shows, wrspn.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top. Jimmy.
know the blueprint.
Yo.
Every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323, looking 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, the tough push. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop scholars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.